The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to the Did You Know Show, and this episode features not a bureaucracy, agency, committee, commission, or department, but this show delves into the function and necessity of the offices of the Inspector General. Those of you familiar with my ongoing governmental series into the executive branch of government will recall in many of my shows I have referred to or used general data or findings from the various reports submitted by the Office of Inspector General within that agency or department. I did this in order to substantiate or validate the goings-on or problematic activities taking place within these parts and pieces of the executive branch of government. The Office of Inspector General's primary task is to oversee the governmental entities relating to their operation and investigates specific items regarding incidences of waste, fraud, abuse, and mismanagement within these specific entities. According to Wikipedia, there are 73 federal offices of Inspector General within the confines of the executive branch of government. The phenomenon of the currently understood OIG only goes back to the year 1978, when the Inspector General Act of 1978 was passed. However, the history of the Office of Inspector General has a more colorful and ancient history going back all the way to the Revolutionary War. The appointment of inspectors was an established practice by both the British and George Washington's Continental Army. In 1777, General Washington met with his 14 generals and decided that appointing an inspector general would lead to a more efficient military process and be a watchman to the spending of monies during these early times in our country's history. On December the 13th, 1777, the Congress of the United States created the Inspector General of the Army, and this continues until today, but greatly expanded. History has shown us that by this creation, Inspector General, a method was made available to the government to have a means to have oversight, accountability, and flexibility over the operation of the various and unique parts of the governmental bureaucracy, and specifically the bureaucracy we now know as the executive branch of government. After passage of the Inspector General Act of 1978, there have been two major changes to this primary legislation of 1978. The Inspector General Amendments of 1988 established a new set of IGs for several designated entities, which included smaller federal agencies. This Act of 1988 also added a reporting requirement of all IGs and agency heads. Next came the Inspector General Reform Act of 2008, which establishes a Council of IGs for Integrity and Efficiency. This act further amended reporting requirements, salaries, bonuses, reward provisions, and finally protected the IG's budget requests. Now, pursuant to Section 2 of the Act, the three main purposes of the IG are, and I quote, conducting and supervising audits and investigations relating to agency programs and operations, providing leadership and coordination, as well as recommending policies for activities designed to promote economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of the affiliated agency's programs and operations, providing for the prevention and detection of fraud and abuse in such programs and operations, and lastly, keeping the agency head and Congress fully and currently informed about the problems and deficiencies relating to such programs and the necessity for and progress of corrective action. Now, in order to accomplish these missions, the IG have been granted broad powers and legislative protections that ensure that these inspector generals operate independently and are not encumbered by the entities they are inspecting. Further, the appointment of an inspector are made without regard to political affiliation and should be based solely on integrity and demonstrated ability in the accounting, auditing, financial and managerial analysis of the law, public administration, and investigation. And lastly, investigation of alleged impropriety with the offices of the Inspector General is handled by a special integrity committee within the CIGIE, or Council of the Inspector General for Integrity and Efficiency. Now, the scope of the IGs from its inception within the ranks of the Army going back to 1777 have expanded significantly, including the inspector generals for each of the military branches, including the Air Force, Navy, and Army. A significant expansion occurred in 1976 under Public Law 94-505, when the Department of Health and Human Services was placed under the auspices of the IGs. And then additional agencies and segments were added for a total of 72, or 73 as Wikipedia states, offices of Inspector General in the U.S. government. As to who has the largest number of IGs, that's a toss-up between the Department of Defense and the Department of Health and Human Services. I did find a number of those for HHS, and that was 1,700 employees. But Wikipedia stated that the Department of Defense was the largest contingent of employees for the IGs, but that's a moot question. So lastly, I would have to ask, are we getting enough bang for our buck? I would have to say yes as to the work of the inspector generals, but sadly say no when it comes to our Congress or the individual agencies in the level of their compliance as to recommendations made by the OIG. Several episodes back, I did a Did You Know show on Amtrak. Within Amtrak, there is an Office of Inspector General, and its reports are revealing as to the many problems within Amtrak. I'll just highlight some of the problems identified by the OIG in a report dated 9/29/14. Overpayment to host railroads, duplicate payments, overtime fraud, and abuse. Almost 1 year later, in another report dated June the 18th of 2015, I quote, calendar year 2014 timesheets data reveal trends and patterns that indicate potential fraud, waste, and abuse in the reporting of overtime and regular time. Believe me, it would be great if all the recommendations of the Office of Inspector General were followed, but alas, that is not the case. The reports are out there, the information is available to Congress, and the executive branch is also notified of these things, and yet we continue to have ongoing problems. Listeners, I could go on, and you tire of my reciting the many wrongs which have been identified and addressed by the OIG, but not corrected by the individual agencies. Allow me one last comment as to the level of implementation of the Office of Inspector General recommendations within Department of Health and Human Services' own Inspector General. This report, 83 pages long, dated March of 2015, entitled Compendium of Unimplemented Recommendations, lists the top 25 unimplemented recommendations. Can you imagine how many more recommendations were not even listed? All I can say is that I believe this is the result of two things, government too big and government too involved in our lives. So I hope you now have a better understanding of this Office of Inspector General. Alas, we've reached the end of this segment of the Did You Know show. Remember, if you have any comments, complaints, or suggestions, please feel free to contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.